Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. We have an amazing true story from history, and this is God's Word. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. Then they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Some Chaldeans took this occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. You as king have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire, and who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary, and he commanded some of the best soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men, in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes, were tied up and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, Didn't we throw three men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied to the king. He exclaimed, look, I see four men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around, they saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this. Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I love this story. First of all, this is not a myth. This is not a fairy tale. This is not made up stuff. Certainly there are people out there who don't believe this because they don't believe the Bible is true. They don't believe it's history. They believe it's just made up stories. They will discover one day the truth. I hope for their sake they discover it in this life so that they repent and trust in Jesus. But they will discover it. Jesus really did rise from the dead. He really is alive. And once you know him, believing in the miracles is no stretch at all. The God who spoke the universe into being still has all power. And he does what he will. Does he always rescue us by keeping us from dying when persecution comes? No. And he didn't say he would. He said, in fact, that there would be a full number of martyrs who must lose their faith or lose their lives for their faith in order to fill that number. You read in the book of Revelation, the martyrs who have lost their lives, crying out to the Lord, saying, how long, O Lord? And the Lord says, not yet, because there are more who need to offer their lives in this way. But the story of these men is one that speaks to me on many levels. First of all, because you talk about temptation. How many of you would say that you face temptation from time to time? All of us. I mean, we're all tempted to do the wrong thing or not to do the right thing. And sometimes the temptation is stronger than at other times. Amen? Sometimes it's more difficult to resist. Well, this was a really tough temptation. This was a really hard test. Because what was on the line was dying. Imagine being in an environment where the boss says, everybody is to do this and anybody who doesn't will immediately be burned alive. That's the situation they were in. Okay, furthermore, it wasn't a private thing. It wasn't something like, you know, turn that frown upside down. I want to see smiles. This was a matter where everybody could see whether you were obeying the law or not, because everybody had to obey at once. Everyone was gathered together for the dedication of this statue. You couldn't say, what statue? I didn't see it. It was 90 feet tall. It was huge. 90 feet? That's 9 stories high. That's taller than this chapel. It's taller than the bell tower. Picture it. 9 stories high. 90 feet up in the air. You couldn't say, I didn't know. They proclaim it, and then they say, the moment when everyone is to fall down with their faces to the ground and worship this thing is when the orchestra starts, okay? You can't say, is that music? No, it's all kinds of instruments all starting up together. So when the music starts, you bow down. And everybody does it. This is a huge crowd, okay? Now, I would like to believe that even as a young person, I would not have bowed down to worship. But knowing myself as I do, I think it is very, very possible that I would have thought this was a good time to bend down and retie my sandals. You know what I mean? I'm not going to worship the statue. Don't get me wrong. What kind of a follower of Yahweh do you think I am? I would never do that. But I don't want to be too conspicuous about my disobedience to the government's law. So here's what I'm just telling you the way that my brain works. You might not be this way at all. But if I could just bow down here and kind of do this, you know, I'm just checking to see how the sandals come in. Let's see, I'm going to continue over here, check this one. When is that music going to stop? Can you relate? Do you ever say, I'm not going to sin, but I want to look cool? I'm not going to do something totally bad, but I want people to think that I'm kind of bad. When I was 14, I wanted desperately for people to think that I was bad in a good kind of way. And so I tried to dress the part and act the part without doing anything that was really sinful. And so this youth group from another part of North Carolina came to Little Montreat where I was growing up, and there were some girls in the youth group, and I really wanted to impress them. We were hanging out together, and they invited me to hang out with them. It wasn't a thing where I was forcing myself upon them. They could tell that guy is bad. And so one of the guys in the group said, hey, after dinner, why don't you come over to the room where I'm staying there at the hotel at Assembly Inn, and we can go down to the lobby maybe and visit with the girls some more. And I said, sure. What time? And he told me. So knowing the layout of the place, and there was no air conditioning, so the windows were open, I went up the fire escape and came in on the third floor. Because I'm bad. Okay? Now, why did I do that? I could have just come up through the lobby and taken the main staircase and either gone up the back stairs or the elevator. But no, I wanted to just kind of mysteriously appear. Okay? So this guy, who it turns out had been jealous of me because the girls were paying some attention to me because I was, you know, he had planned this thing where he would invite me to his room and then go tell his youth sponsor that he found a guy in his room and he's afraid I might have taken something. which he did. So the youth pastor, the guy said, hey, wait here, I'll be back in a minute. He goes and gets the youth pastor. And I'm saying, well, this guy invited me. Well, then why'd you come up the fire escape? I was trying to be cool. You know, I just thought it'd be cool, you know, to come up the fire escape. Really, that was kind of stupid, wasn't it? The guy said that he was missing $10. He later admitted the whole thing was a lie and that he did it. I mean, he admitted it to the youth pastor. He admitted it to the police who got involved. Suffice it to say, it was one of the most miserable evenings of my life. And whereas before that event, I really wanted people to think that I was kind of bad, I decided I don't want anybody to think I'm bad. I don't want anybody to wonder if they can believe what I say. I don't want to be perceived as a dangerous, lying person who may be responsible for theft. Now, I'm telling you that because the temptation here would be to find a way to not flat out disobey God, but not to just stand there while everybody else is bowing down. These guys stood their ground. And as a result, they were quickly picked out in the crowd. And as a result, they were reported to the government. And as a result, they were given a chance at rehabilitation. Notice it says in verse 19, then King Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you that prior to that, when he was talking to them, he was acting like, come on now, fellas. Let's get this right. Just do the all I'm asking you to do is what everybody else is doing. Just bow down. It's not a big deal. Come on. And if you don't, we're going to kill you. So, hey, this is an easy choice, isn't it? Their response to him is to say, we'd rather die. We know that our God is able to deliver us, and we believe he will deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to sin against him. Now Nebuchadnezzar is furious, and he has the air cranked up on the furnace. That's how they make it 7 times hotter. It got so hot that the soldiers who went to throw these guys in were burned to death just from getting close to the fire, not even into the fire. Now, if I'm one of these guys and this is happening to me, I'm thinking, first of all, Lord, you saw what we did, right? I mean, this is a good time to save us. Okay? I'm thinking that while they're tying me up, because it doesn't feel good to be tied up. I'm thinking that when they're dragging me up toward the top of the furnace. I'm thinking that because when you're tied up, you can't even protect yourself when you go to land. They were thrown in, and I guess at that point, it says they fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. There's really not any hope, is there? I mean, it's too late for God to do anything now. You ever feel like it's too late? I can quit praying? I mean, you know, I had some real hope there for a while. I thought maybe God was going to step in. But no, looks like we're going in the furnace. And that furnace is hot. These guys fell into the flames, and God met them there. I want you to realize it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was alarmed when he saw what happened. It put fear into the ruler of the empire when he saw what God did for his servants. Because what God did for his servants in this situation was to make it so that the only thing that got burned up was the ropes. The only thing that the fire destroyed was what bound God's servants. And sometimes you and I have to be put in a furnace of affliction, in a fiery trial, in order for us to get free from things that held us back. In order for us to be freed, we sometimes have to go through fire. Don't forget that. Furthermore, they met the Lord their God in a way they never had before. They believed in him. They sought to obey him. But now, they're walking around with him. This is, without a doubt, a visitation of the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand the Trinity. But as with several places in the Old Testament, where the Lord manifests his presence in a human form, meeting with Abraham, meeting with Jacob, for example, this is a place where God shows up and his presence is known in a way these men had never known it before. I'll tell you this, the most difficult times in my life have been the places where I was privileged to get to know the Lord better. Jesus was there with them. And the final outcome, God was glorified. Nebuchadnezzar says, if anybody ever says anything against their God, like I did a few minutes ago, we're gonna destroy them and turn their house into a garbage heap. That's what we'll do. That's what we do. Because I said so. I want you to know I'm still the boss. But in the midst of his seeking to assert himself as still being in charge, because imagine how humiliating it is. You get so upset and you say, I'll tell you what we'll do to you. We're going to throw you into the furnace. And so they throw him in the furnace and it doesn't work. You know, it's like, wow. Do you know what has happened in country after country down through history when the government has decided the Christians are a threat and they crack down and try and persecute them? You know what happens? Church grows. And it grows with real believers instead of the phony baloney people who just want to join a good club. So the king recognized that there was a power greater than any he'd ever known. Because God's people trusted in him more than they loved their own lives. I don't believe it is likely that any of us are going to be threatened with life and death if we don't do some horrible sin in the next, 3 weeks. But what if they did? What if it was a situation where someone threatened your life if you didn't sin against God? What do? You do what these guys did. You trust God, and you stand for what's true, knowing that eternal life is so much better than anything this world has to offer. Please understand, God loves you. And you don't have to be afraid of obeying him. I have never met anyone who said, I wish I hadn't obeyed God. But I've met a ton of people who with tears have said, I wish I had obeyed God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.